You may be like Saul. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I didn't know how the Lord was going to orchestrate this morning, but I'm glad He's God and I'm glad He's in control. And so often in our lives, we're just like Saul. Look at verse 13 of 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You know what he said? He said, I'm all right. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I've done all that God had had me to do. He said, Blessed be thou of the Lord. Notice the religious expression that He made. So often in our lives we find ourselves in dire need, just like Saul, knowing the darkness of our heart and knowing the deceptions of our heart and knowing how that we're deceived in our lives. But we have the religious lingo and the religious language, and man, we put on this forefront that everything is okay. There's a five-letter word that plagues us in our life, and we're going to see this morning exactly what's wrong with Saul. And so often in our lives, we sit and we mope and we moan about our situations, and we sit and we find ourselves questioning God, when the reality is that God is trying to work in our hearts and God is trying to work in our lives, and we're so lifted up with pride that we're afraid to admit to God that we really need Him. And we look at others and we say, well, man, look at what they're doing. And we look at others and we say, look at what they're doing. And look at what here he had to say. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And we know from last week's preaching, you know from reading this passage, that he has not performed the commandment of the Lord. That he's not okay. That he's not right with God. That even, and you say, well, preacher, how can I not be right with God in my storm? And Saul here was willfully in sin, and we understand that. But I want you to understand, in our lives as God's children, so often we find ourselves trying to hide the truth of the reality of who we really are and really what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. And we come before God and we come before His presence and we wonder why we are feeling the way we do. And we wonder why, because understand this, God is rejecting Saul. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:23. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. Now this is where I want to slow down just a minute and ask you this question this morning. In your situation that you found yourself in, is the Lord rejecting you? Now we understand this, that Saul was anointed by the Lord to be king. We understand this, that Saul, that God brought Saul out because he told Samuel. Samuel told him, he said, when thou wast little, and he said, in thine own sight, he said, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? He said, Saul, do you not remember what God brought you out of and where God brought you from? He says, do you not remember? He said, you was little in your own sight. And he said, God has got you to where you are today, and God has brought you to where you are today. And why are you lying unto God? Because understand, that's what he's doing. He is lying to God about his current situation. He is lying to God about the truth of what's going on in his heart and in his life. he is lying to God, because he said, I performed all that the Lord would have me to do. I'm okay. Everything's great in my life. God's God, and blessed thou be of the Lord. Everything's wonderful. Well, if everything's wonderful, why was God rejecting me? If everything was wonderful, why was he so worried about what everybody else thought about him? Because look here this morning in verse number 12. Or verse number 13. Back up. I'm sorry. Let me find it here. Verse 12. Yes. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Saul set him up a place. You say, what do you mean? Saul had got to this place in his life and he said, well, you know, I want to be recognized for being a good Christian. He set up a place. He says, I want, when people know, hear my name and people walk by me, I want them to know that I'm a good Christian. And I want them to know that I have the Lord's blessings in my life. And I want them to know that everything between me and God is okay. Because you say, how do you get that? Well, he set up a place there, at a place where he was anointed king. Okay, this was where he was anointed king, and he set up a place there after he said that he'd done all that he'd done, and he was headed back, and he set up a monument unto himself so that everybody could recognize and admonish him for how great of a king that he was. And now let's look here in verse number 31. Let's read verse 27. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And he'd done that because God had rejected him. And Samuel said unto the Lord, hath rent this kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, notice here, I have sinned yet. Notice what he says. Honor me now, I pray thee, before the people. He said, I've sinned yet. He never said, I've sinned, pray for me. I've sinned, let's sacrifice. He says, I've sinned. But now, this is what I want. Let's go down to the house of God, and you go with me, because you're God's representative, and you're God, and that you're God's man, and you're God's prophet. And I need the people to know that me and God are still on the same page. I need the people to know that even though I know that God has rejected me, I know that I've not been obedient to the Word of God, I know that my relationship with God is not okay, I need this world to know that me and God's good. Honor me, please. And just go back with me down to the house of God so that the people may see that I'm okay. You know what he was doing? He's lying. You know why David had the relationship with God that he had? Because David was a good repenter. He said, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Purge me of hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make the bones that thou hast broken rejoice. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He says, God, I'm more concerned about me and you being right than what all other people may think. And I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid today, we live the life, our Christian life, just like Saul. We're more concerned about what people are thinking about us. And we're in a pretense, thinking that everything is okay with God, when in reality, we're broken and hurt and wounded on the inside. And we sit and we question God, and we say, Lord, I've done this and I've done that. Because understand this, that's exactly what Saul done. He said, I've done it all. Think about this. Lord, I've kept the commandments. Lord, I've done it. I've done it. I've done all. And then Samuel said this. He said, well, what's meaning this bleeding, this sheep and this loading of the cattle I hear? He said, oh, it wasn't me. He said, it was my family. It wasn't me, it's that other crowd down there. It's the people. The people saved the best and thought it would be good to sacrifice them to God. The people did. Have you ever noticed how when we get out of fellowship with God, how that we're real quick and real critical of everybody else? You want to know why? Because it takes the pressure off of us. God wasn't dealing with the other people. God was dealing with Saul. And let me say this to you, if the Spirit of God is dealing with you this morning, God's not dealing with everybody else in the building the same way that He's dealing with you. God's not dealing with your family. God's not dealing with your wife. And so I'm honest with you today, I even find myself, when God begins to deal with me, Brother Green, the first thing I want to do is bring up my wife's sins to God. And I want to bring up what's going on down at the house of God. And I want to bring up what's going on here. And I want to bring up what's going on there. And the whole time, and understand this, and I'm going somewhere with this morning, because understand this, the whole time and the reason that God, and it's not in Scripture, but I believe that we can preach it in context, and we can preach it literally, and we can see the picture, the whole reason that God sent Samuel down to Saul was because God was long-suffering in Saul's life. God was showing mercy, and God was showing grace, and God was giving him a chance to make it right and get things right before he rejected him from being king. Why did God send Samuel down there if it wasn't for Saul? And it wasn't for an opportunity for him to get right. But he rejected God. And he says, this is what Samuel said. He says, because thou hast rejected the word of the God. He says, the Lord hath rejected thee. You got New Testament scripture for that? Yes, sir, I do. Glad you asked. Wherefore, God resisteth the proud, but giveth more grace unto the humble. James chapter 5, verse number 14. And if that's not good enough, he said it again in 1 Peter, wherefore God resisteth the proud, but giveth more grace unto the humble. Lord, I need grace. Lord, I need grace. Lord, I need grace. And God says, get rid of your pride. Get rid of your pride. Get rid of your pride. Is that not where we are? I got a question for you this morning. How many of you, as God was moving this morning in the singing, God came by you where you were sitting and revealed some truth to you in your life, and you said, it ain't that important, is it, God? Let me say this to you. If it's important enough for God to send a message to you, either through the man of God, the Word of God, or the Holy Spirit of God, then it's important enough for me and you to deal with. And whether it be a broken heart, you say, well, why am I sitting here broken? Why do I feel that pulling, that yearning? Why? Come here, Caleb. Why do I feel God drawing me? Come here. Don't resist me. I know you hurt. I know you don't understand. But I do. And I died for that. And I know you're broken. And I know you're bruised. And I really just want you to be honest with me. And son, I know you're mad at me. And I know you don't like the way that I've let things happen in your life. Because I am in control. And I don't appreciate you lying. Coming before me saying everything's okay. Because in reality you're rejecting what I'm trying to do in your heart, in your life. And I know you heard, and when you come to me and tell me that everything's okay and it's not, you're lying to me. And I can't help you when you reject me. You see, the Bible says this, He's the God of all comfort who comforteth us in all of our tribulations. But our problem is not this. I'm okay. I'm okay. I don't need the comfort of God in my life. Why did you lay awake in the bed last night? I don't need the comfort of God in my life. Then why is the realness of God not real to you anymore? I don't need the help of God. Why do you sit in despair? I don't need the help of God. Then why are you complaining about your situation? Oh, I'm praying. Are we praying or complaining? I'll be honest with you. I find a lot of times in my life I'm complaining more to God than I am praying. I'm just being honest. You say you're doing all that because Miss Kay comes to the altar? No. Because what God worked in my heart this morning about 7 o'clock. God says, I want to help people. And they're blaming me. They're blaming me. And so, and this is what He said. He said, Nathan, I want to help you, but you're blaming me. He says, I'm rejecting you because you're not being honest. And I laid my head over my desk and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I know Your Word teaches me that You desire truth in the inward parts. And I know Your Word teaches me that Your Word's not a lie. And Lord, I know that Your Word teaches me that if I'm going to worship You, I'm going to have to worship You in spirit and in truth. And I said, Lord, I'm apologizing. I'm sorry. I've been a hypocrite.
don't need you. Listen to me. God does not need you, Father, Son, and Shepherd. God does not need you, Father, the dead brother. God does not need you. But every one of us is here. What is it that you would like for him to do in your heart and in your life? But no matter the situation, whatever thy lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
Counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. Sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take.
He's speaking to your heart.
Every move that I make.
When you're rejecting His leading, when you're rejecting His word, you're rejecting Him.
He knows my name, and I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day.
That's what we preached on last Sunday morning. Saul said, well,
don't know what tomorrow
I'm going to kill everything but the best.
Can't
he thought
tell
his way was better than God.
Store. I don't know a lot of things.
Don't you need grace this morning?
I don't have all the answers to
the questions.
Wouldn't
you like to walk out
of
the building different than the way you came in?
But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
He knows every thought that
he
you think.
He knows my name, and I'm overwhelmed by the pain.
He knows every burden that you bear.
Can't see the
light. He knows every disappointment that you face.
He
knows every broken heart.
He knows
every bruised and battered child. He knows that there's nothing today that's taken God by surprise in your life. He knows how dissatisfied you are with your current situation. He knows about it.
He made the mountains and the seas.
You say, well, what does he want from me? Everything
of all creatures great.
He wants you to be honest with him.
He knows my name.
Hey, sometimes I just sit down and I got a letter to God. Brother Jimmy Clark taught me that.
That I make,
and I just write down everything.
Every tear that I cry.
That I'm dissatisfied with.
He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day.
You wouldn't be that way.
I know
you're
I'll
exactly
be
right.
Just fine. He knows
exactly
my
right.
name.
And I know the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But the fact of the matter is, I'm just like Saul.
I don't know a lot.
The fact of the matter is, I still deal with my flesh. And the fact of the matter is, I'm still carnal.
Don't have all the answers to the questions of life.
Now, is that an everyday routine that I'm dissatisfied with God? No. I'll be honest with you. I'm more satisfied than dissatisfied. But you know what amazes me, Brother Fenton?
Every step that
Brother Bobby,
I take,
everything be going great for me one day, and I will have a complaint
make,
in the world. I mean,
every tear that
and I wake
I
up the next
cry.
Morning.
He
and a fly can land on me wrong, Mr. A.
I'm
and it's like, God, why did you let that happen to me today?
Can't see the light of
Lord,
day.
What are you doing?
I know I'll be just fine.
You say, what is?
He knows my name.
Part of that's trial of life. trial of our faith, our tribulations, things we, God is trying to magnify Himself in our lives and say, just look how good I can be. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I wish, Brother Wesley, that I could rip my shirt open and there was a big S on my chest that said Superman. I'm honest. I wish I was a super Christian, Mr. Ray. I wish that I was like Paul. But then I read about Paul, and Paul said, I'm not apprehended. He said, I've not made it. I've always wanted to be like David, Mr. Ray, and I opened my Bible and I realized that I'm just like David. Lord, where are you? One place David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I could just fly away. Man, those days in my life, Brother Wesley, I'd just like to get wings. I'd just like to fly away. Leave it all behind. Yeah. Don't beat yourself up. Guess what? David felt the same way, and God was so gracious to us, and God was so good to us that He left it and He put it in the Word of God so that you and I might see that God is good even in our bad times.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
That I've not always been faithful, but He has.
Amen.
And even when we believe not, He still abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. You say, well, I don't feel like He's faithful. Guess what? There's been many days this week, Brother West, I'm just going to be honest with you. I said, God, where are you? Lord, your word says you're faithful, but Lord, I sure don't feel it like now. I'll be honest with you, I sat down yesterday and opened my Bible. And I'll be honest with you, it had been many days since I'd heard from God. I come up here Thursday morning, I stayed 3 hours by myself, just looking for a word. I said, God, I need something from you. I'm not having a pity party. I'm just trying to be real. And I sat down at my desk yesterday and began to read yesterday morning before we went to the funeral. Over there in Ephesians chapter 3 or chapter 2. Over there where it says that He loved us. I believe verse number 5. I can't remember the direct verse. But it said, loved us, capital L-O-V-E-D. And this was my heart. I said, Lord, that's past tense. And I said, Lord, do you still love me today? With all my doubts, with all my burdens. This is what He said. Holy Ghost in this faintness voice said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, tell me again. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And I said, thank you, Lord. I needed to hear it. I've not always been faithful. He has. He has. God bless you. I love you this morning.